This is Ducello and Sturt. Zach Ducello.
I would say there's two answers because there's the Elway draft, and there's going to be the way that I would draft it, which I'm going to go with that. You're going to have to get the offensive line beefed up so you can get Drew Locke. And you think about it, our offensive line is pretty horrendous. There's Reisner.
Matthew Sturt. Half the fan base wanted Troy Tulowitzki to get traded, and the other half of the fan base doesn't know anything about baseball, so they were like, no, we want Troy.
Follow them on Twitter at Welcome Rug and at Orange Mamba 22 to check out the latest podcast.
Hey, man. What's wrong?
I'm feeling lost.
Lost?
Yeah. I feel like my choices in life aren't getting me anywhere, and I feel like I don't have a voice.
Well, did you know that the Colorado Media School is the perfect way for you to get that outlet?
Really?
Yeah, because at the Colorado Media School, you can have a voice. Enrollment starts today, so find your voice at beonair.com. It's changed my life. Let it change yours.
From the Colorado Media School campus in Lakewood, Colorado, the premier radio show on GoMileHigh.com, this is The Press Box.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Carlos Rodriguez hosting today's Press Box on the GoMileHigh.com on the part of the Beat On Air Network. Next to me is Mr. Roddy Rod.
Hey, what's up?
And to my right is Marty Dark.
Good to be with you, Carlos.
Yes, with Squirrel running the board.
Yo, yo.
So today we're going to start off with some good headlines. Obviously, we game one of the little series started last night, but Roddy has a quick headline first before we go into it.
Oh, what? Antonio Brown going to the Seahawks?
Yeah, why not?
Whoa, are we going to start off with that? Well, he's not going to the Seahawks yet. Nothing is official. No. This is all rumors. Let's go ahead and clarify that. But if this happens, oh my goodness, you're going to give Antonio Brown with already a DK Metcalf and a Tyler Lockett, you know, and an Antonio Brown with a Russell Wilson.
Can he behave himself?
Does it even matter? Does it even matter? I mean, let's be honest. Say if he gets suspended for something, does it matter? Do you really lose anything? It's kind of like a win and stay even situation.
Yeah, the only deal would be is if you're putting him in the bank, it's going to be around all year. Can he make it a full NFL season, personal conduct-wise?
I wouldn't even worry about that.
If you can get him for 4 or 5 games, it's worth it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think he's...
You have to pay full price for him, or is he a discount like Le'Veon? I mean, is he cheap?
Does it matter? I
wouldn't pay much for him. No, he's burned everybody in the past that gave him any money.
I get that. I get that point. But, I mean, if I get him for 4 games, that's 4 possible blowout victories right there. Mm-hmm. NFL standards, how much are you willing to give up for that?
Well, you might only need 1 or 2 wins to crack into hosting, right? So would you pay 4 or 5 million bucks for that? You probably would.
I mean, hosting doesn't matter in this COVID season right now, but still,
I think Seattle like to play at home. I think they would like to play at home.
Yeah, later in the show, we're going to talk about the Super Bowl and some of the other weeks that it might be pushed out. But another great headline from last night is the World Series.
Woo.
You know, Clayton Kershaw pitched. You know, he wasn't the choke of October. He retired 17 of his final 18 batters that he faced. He only allowed 2 hits in a home run. So, Marty, what you got on that?
He got out of that first inning, potentially could have done some damage. Rays could not put together hits in a row.
No.
Yeah, he shed it a little bit. What's odd about that game is the Rays have done such a good job with that bullpen management, and we know the back end of the Rays is lock solid. I mean, it's one after another, mows them down. You got into the 5th inning. Glasnow had not had a lot of success, a lot of balls, high counts. Cash said he wanted to go for a strikeout there, so if you replay the 5th inning, they had gotten it to 2-1, right? We'd gotten one over on Kershaw. Problem was this, is Glasnow was not reliable at all, and so they had that bullpen ready to go. Mookie gets on. He's still second. We're going to hit on Mookie Betts, too, because you're looking at five tools just screaming everywhere, right? Yeah. A game changer. And you can see why L.A.'s now in the World Series versus watching. He's a difference maker and maybe just enough to pursue a sweep here. Mm-hmm. They didn't go to that pin. I don't know if they thought that this game one was just to be conceded, that was Kershaw, and they were going to lose, because they didn't go and make the moves that they had been. Glasnow was not the guy to get the strikeout there. That inning got out of control. Game was over right there. That's why tonight becomes so critical, because you're thinking 2-0, then you got to go Buehler, Charlie Morton. Mm-hmm. That's your best ace coming for the Rays. If they lose that game, obviously you're 3-0 and the thing's over. Tonight's the night. Tonight's the move.
Well, we got a little snippet from last night from Mookie. We thought we had it.
But still, he did hammer that home run in the bottom of the sixth. I mean, you can't ask for anything more than that. I mean, that was beautiful.
Well,
the
stat that they flashed last night, it was since Babe Ruth, 1921, first player with a walk and two steals in an inning. Okay, it was a 99-year record, and Babe Ruth's the only company. He was putting it all on display. What's shocking, Stu, is Boston could let a player like that over money. He was like 12 years, 386, and they let him go. That was homegrown. Remember, Mookie Betts was homegrown. They let him walk away, and now he's going to be able to name his price. Maybe he likes in L.A., and he wants to stay. But I couldn't imagine drafting, finding, grooming, and having a player like that now on a World Series stage that's not on your team.
Yeah, and now, since the past 21 World Series, whatever won game one.
End up winning the whole series?
Yep.
That's pretty good stuff.
Dodgers tonight, though, are going to go with an opener. Okay, mm-hmm. They're going to do this Gonsolin thing where they just get him twice through the order, and it's going to be a bullpen reliever. We already know that if Tampa Bay is to get a lead and get that lead maybe in the fifth inning, the fourth inning, here comes the closers, two innings apiece, and they're done. Tampa Bay's offense is just not great, okay? They've got the great Randy Arozarena, okay, who's having this flash to success as a rookie. That's just not a great offense. They're going to have to get three or four runs out of Dodger bullpen day, or this thing is going to get ugly quickly.
Okay. Mm. So we got that bit from Mookie hitting that home run last night.
Top of the order, Mookie Betts, first pitch with a fly ball to right field. Heading on back is Renfro at the wall, and it's gone! A home run!
That was a blast.
Mookie Betts is doing merely everything.
Yeah.
A home run, two stolen bases, couple of runs scored, and on the first pitch of the bottom of the sixth, he hits a home run to right.
Wow. So that was courtesy of AM570 KLC out of Los Angeles. And just from that performance alone, he might get MVP if they win it.
Well, so here's what you have to ask is can he double up tonight? Okay, because we're going to see it again. And he's going to have to do it. See, this is a night where Ray should be able to get runs, and it's going to be a slugfest. The Dodgers look like a team, though, that are just sort of hitting their stride perfectly right now. Yeah. Look pretty hungry and look like they can potentially see blood. Tampa Bay lost to the Yankees, gave up a lot of big smashes in that game one, and they were able to ride that series through and get it corrected. Tonight's tonight. Snell wants to be a big-time major league left-handed pitcher. This is the display to go shut those Dodgers out for about four innings. That's all he needs to get to.
Mm-hmm. I want to take a little piece out of your book. You know, from basketball standpoint, basketball is a season of runs, or a game of runs, and it's the same thing with baseball. Like he said, the Dodgers are hot. They're absolutely hot. They've won four in a row, four out of three. They were down 3-1. They won three elimination games to get to this point. And Tampa nearly gave up there. Mm-hmm. You know, they're holding. They were up 3-0. They almost gave that up to Houston. You know, so I think that Tampa's young, and I just think the Dodgers have too much talent that is really in the swing, in the mode right now, that last night just shows you, man. I think Tampa's a great team, but I just don't think they're ready for this Dodger team.
I was really hoping for Houston only for the drama, for having Dodgers playing Houston again, you know, because of the cheat gate thing or whatever.
The trash cans.
Trash can gate. Mm-hmm. So
they definitely can hit the fastball.
So, yeah.
Well, so here's what he's suggesting, and you're suggesting, is Tampa Bay's not – you have to be a baseball lover, passionate about the game to get excited about a Tampa Bay. Everybody flip on the Dodgers and listen to the great Randy Newman song about they love L.A. Payrolls look nothing alike, not even close, and they're here. Both teams came fresh off of a seven-game series and challenges. Dodgers fought their way back, and Tampa Bay came from behind to almost lose their series, but both had to go to a game seven. Tonight will show guts because 1-1 is a very different series than 2-0.
Definitely.
And I always say, I was always kidding around with Tampa Bay that they're used to playing games without any fans.
11,000 is home.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I can't even mention anyone playing on Tampa Bay off the top of my head, you know, just joking around. But, no, I think it will be a comeback series.
I think the Dodgers win tonight. I don't think it's going to be as high scoring as it was yesterday, but I think it was going to be they probably pull up four runs. It's going to be probably 4-1.
Blake, so what do you think? 4-1?
4-1.
Low scoring.
Blake Snell has had a ton of control issues, high pitch counts, but a lot of action on that ball. Mm-hmm. And if he's got it dialed in, like we saw Glasnow in the previous series, he did not have it last night, that control. Blake Snell got control and gets five innings. This thing's going to be toast because I don't believe that Gonsolin is going to hold them three, four, five innings. This is going to be heavy-duty bullpen. Mm-hmm. And I think the Dodgers run the risk of, are they going to want to concede that thing early if it gets out of hand? And are they going to waste? Because they got Walker Buehler coming tomorrow. Yeah. Got Charlie Morton. Both have been fantastic. Charlie Morton may be a slight edge at the moment. It's probably an all-in if the Dodgers can smell blood like they think this is the night to pounce, but they've set up the pitching matchup certainly in Tampa Bay's favor.
I think so. Yeah, it could be. I mean, the Bachelorette's not on tonight, so, you know, we'll get some more ratings.
I know we talk about ratings later, but, boy, do they need a 1-1 series to keep this thing of any interest at all. Because game three is going to be Friday night. Yeah. I can't see a 2-0, and we're back to L.A. potentially done here. It's going to lose some attention quickly, but Tampa Bay's a fun story. When you're spending no money and you're competing with this.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think this score is going to be?
Oh, I like Tampa Bay tonight. I like the Rays tonight. I like them 6-3.
It's like,
I like them 6-3. Okay. Most of those Dodgers run come early.
I like that, like your last take you just put, like, you know, this, like, it's just Mookie Betts and Kershaw makes the whole salary of the Tampa Bay Rays. That is crazy right there. Makes the entire
Never forget, Giancarlo Stanton is watching. Yeah. The Yankees and their $1 trillion payroll are watching the Tampa Bay Devil Rays, formal Devil Rays, current Rays, playing in the World Series. That just shows you can't buy baseball.
No. Mm-hmm. No.
Moneyball. No. We don't know about that Moneyball. No. So it's going to be great. Again, so I got it 1-1. Yeah.
So coming up next, we're going to be talking about how Ryan Fitzpatrick got his heart broken down in Miami.
Story of his career.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're here at the Press Box on the MileHigh.com on part of the Be On Air Network. We'll be right back in the field.
Hey man, what's wrong?
I'm feeling lost.
Lost?
Yeah, I feel like my choices in life aren't getting me anywhere, and I feel like I don't have a voice.
Well, did you know that the Colorado Media School is the perfect way for you to get that outlet?
Really?
Yeah, because at the Colorado Media School, you can have a voice. Enrollment starts today, so find your voice at beonair.com. It's changed my life. Let it change yours. Hey Colorado sports fans, you're listening to GoMileHigh.com, a student-operated station live from the Colorado Media School Studios here in Belmar, giving you a different perspective on all things current.
Stop torturing yourself, man! Live in the now!
So stay tuned to see what's coming up next on GoMileHigh.com, Colorado's sports lifestyle.
Showing.
What does it take to be on air? It's not just a personality, though it does help. It takes drive, creativity, passion, and the willingness to develop yourself and truly find what makes you special. At Go Mile High, students are given this chance to become something great. You never know. Someone you're hearing right now could be the next big thing, and you could be the first to know how it all started. So keep listening, because you never know what's next on GoMileHigh.com.
This is Ducello Asserts. Zach Ducello.
I would say there's two answers, because there's the Elway draft, and there's going to be the way that I would draft it, which I'm going to go with that. You're going to have to get the offensive line beefed up so you can get Drew Lock. And you think about it, our offensive line is pretty horrendous. There's Reisner.
Matthew Sturts. Half the fan base wanted Troy Tulowitzki to get traded, and the other half of the fan base doesn't know anything about baseball, so they were like, no, we want Troy.
Follow them on Twitter at Welcome Rug and at OrangeMamba22 to check out the latest podcast.
My heart just hurt all day. It was heartbreaking for me. Flo kind of said what he said and said what he said to you guys as well. And that's the decision and the direction that the organization is going in. And obviously, you know, we've talked in the past, you know, how I'm the placeholder and this eventually was going to happen no matter, it was just a matter of kind of when, not if. And it broke my heart yesterday. And, you know, it's a tough thing for me to hear and to now have to deal with. But, you know, I'm going to do my best with it.
Wow, tough words from Ryan Fitzpatrick. This is Carlos Rodriguez here hosting the press box on the MileHigh.com. Go MileHigh.com and be in part of the Be On Air network. I'm here with Roddy, Swirl, yeah, and Marty. So Ryan Fitzpatrick, he was, you know, firing up the fans that Tua came in on Sunday. He was happy for him. He comes into, you know, the clubhouse on Monday, and his coaches fires him.
He's not fired. Let's just go ahead.
But you know what I mean.
But he lost his job for nothing. And I mean, I don't understand how, you know, Tua comes in one series in garbage time, you know, throw for 9 yards, and they said, okay, we've seen enough. He can play against the Jets. It just beyond me. And I mean, I understand that, you know, Fitzpatrick knew that, you know, he was – eventually going to hand over the team to Tua. You know, he was just there to
mentor
him and guide him and show him the ropes and stuff like that. But, you know, you still a quarterback in the NFL, and I still can play, and I still have a job. I still want to get paid to play this game that I love. And then you come in and they just say one day, I mean, after you gave a pretty decent performance against the Jets, mind you, it is the Jets, but – he gave a pretty decent performance. I mean, he has already, this is what, week six? And mm-hmm. We just had week six. He's thrown for 1,500 yards, 10 touchdowns, 7 INTs. But, you know, they're 3-3. What more do you want from this guy?
Well, you know, Tua's performance against the Jets had nothing to do with this. This was inevitable. Now, if you look at the rest of the league, Tyrod Taylor's a very similar situation. He lost that job through no fault of his own.
We can see.
But it's coming, right? We knew it was coming. There's no way that teams like the Chargers or the Dolphins think that we can take on Kansas City, we can take on Pittsburgh, Seattle, we can take on the greats with the current quarterbacks. We're going to have to get better. So it's one of those fascinating things through no fault of your own, but because your ceiling is certainly in on Ryan Fitzpatrick. And let's face it, this has been a story of his career. He knows sort of his role. But he's more than viable and reliable in every capacity. This team right now is probably not able to win its division. Buffalo's supposedly so good. Josh Allen is so great. They probably can't win that division. You know, so they maybe had a wild card if all goes well current. Maybe. But yeah, this is a tough – AFC's a very, very tough conference. Mm-hmm. You're a fan base that's been, you know, there's been no excitement about the Dolphins for a long, long time, except for Tua. Right. So they have sort of this bit, you want Tua, but you want success. This is going to be sort of that, we'll find out pretty quickly. I don't think he goes 0-6 and it's a disaster, or 0-8 and it's a disaster and they have to pull him. You can't go back now, right? You can't put him in and say, oh, gosh, you weren't ready at all.
That's my point.
Come on back,
right,
Ryan.
We were talking inside the huddle. I mean, what happens if he starts, all right, he goes against the Rams and then he's horrible, and then he has to go the Cardinals at Arizona the week after.
Yeah, that's a problem if it goes bad quickly.
And it goes bad quickly. That means that's Fitzpatrick with two games down that he has to bring the team back.
I think what they're saying, though, right now is we don't care about this year's playoff situation. We don't care at all about the success of this season. Because I can't imagine them making the decision to say Tua takes us over the top, because you have to think there's going to be a 2 or 3 game thing where, I'm sorry, he's been in the league 6 months. Ryan Fitzpatrick has been doing this for 15 years. It would be foolish to think that he picks up where he left off and then all of a sudden he's chasing Lamar Jackson and Pat Mahomes. That I don't believe happens in the first 4 weeks of his season.
No.
But however, I do think this is more harder on Tua than it is like Fitzpatrick, because Fitzpatrick left the Miami Dolphins in a great spot.
Sure.
They left them in a great spot. So now Tua has to match and overcome that.
The pressure just got
the pressure
doubled.
Doubled
from
for
one
no
shoulder
reason
to him.
Yeah, no, for no reason whatsoever. So you do that to a rookie quarterback right off the gate, and you expect him to perform. Now I kind of get what Flores is doing. He wants that new exciting quarterback. Like he wants that youth. Like you said, you want a Pat Mahomes, you want a Lamar Jackson, you want a Kyler Murray. So
right.
So you want that type of energy in your at your quarterback spot, which I think he Tua does bring. However, you don't throw out a player that if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Right. So and I don't know what Flores was thinking, the head coach. I really don't know what his thought process was to go ahead and bring Tua in right off the bat. And
this instantly puts him in a hot seat. Flores in a hot seat.
Well, what it is he got an extra year on deal, and I think he's bought the confidence around because, see, his statement was, this is for the future of the Dolphins. This is what's best for the future of the Dolphins. So you have to say, okay, meaning an extra 8 games of experience for this rookie quarterback is more valuable than potentially getting to a playoff or finishing 9-7 and finishing well. Do you owe that more to a fan base and organization, finishing as best as possible? Because I don't think anybody today, for a game that starts tomorrow, would intentionally take Tua over Fitzpatrick. Got to have this one game. In his first NFL start, I still like Fitzpatrick better in almost every scenario. So we know that it's not to get better tomorrow by playing him, where in some cases you absolutely see a backup because it's going so bad, right? That is not the case here at all. This is to say he needs this 8 games of experience. So next year we're actually the real deal. It has to be that thinking. Make him a legitimate contender next year. Chase Josh Allen in the division. That's all that's left. If you saw Cam Newton in Buffalo, New England, you know why they paid so little for him. That was embarrassing play calling. They try to will him down the field against. I'm sorry, that's a very average Broncos team and got dominated at home. So you can see, though, that they can see just get to Josh Allen and the Bills, and you can have that division all to yourself. Jets will never contend, at least not in the next five years. It's just a laughable team. So big picture, smarter if he's the right guy, right?
Exactly.
Is he the right guy even?
But I still don't see why you put him in a situation. Now, let's say he comes up in there. Like, I wish nothing but success for Tua. But to say if he comes in and he stinks up the place for the next 2 games, do you bring it back in Fitzpatrick? Mm-hmm. And that's his career, Tua's career.
Yeah. What do you got, Squirrel?
Just to bounce off Marty there, I think that if Flores was going to intentionally do this, I think that, you know, this would have been the perfect time. You give Tua the week off where he can work into the team, because I'm not going to sit here and act like Tua's had a lot of reps, because I don't think he's been out there having a lot of reps in practice because of his hip, you know. And I think if there was a week that they already had thought in the beginning of the season, hey, we're going to put Tua in, it would had to have been the bye week against – and then against what, the Rams the week after that? And I said last show, well, Aaron Donald's going to welcome Tua to the league.
Yeah.
And that hip may not be able to handle, you know, a big fella as such. I mean, you've seen what he just did to Alex Smith, for Christ's sake. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't think Tua is, as Marty said, he's not ready. He does need those 8 games. I will absolutely say that. He needs that. But he also needs to get that hip well, so he can actually play football.
So, you know, if you're the owner of the Miami Dolphins, you're in second place, okay?
Yeah, why is Fitzmagic even sitting, bro? What are you doing?
And they're paying him $11 million this year be a mentor.
Oh, yeah.
Trade deadline's in 2 weeks. What happens if Fitzpatrick goes to another team?
What team does he go to?
Why?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just saying. You never know. Anything can happen in 2 weeks.
If that happens, Flores is fired.
I mean, that could be a good play.
It's best start Miami's had in 10 years, dude. You're going to talk about we're going to switch quarterbacks in the middle of a three-game stretch. Come on.
Say he trades him to Dallas for Gallup. Because if Andy Dalton's not the answer for Dallas.
Would you make that trade?
Yeah. NFC East is up for grabs, you know, as we speak.
I like to throw curveballs. So
that could be a good curveball.
But I'm just saying.
I'm trying to make sense of this.
he won't go anywhere. You got $11 million is nothing anymore. I mean, this was crazy. I mean, Case Keenum was here.
Melvin Gordon's getting eight.
He was a $17 million
put it in my big
guy.
Account.
Yeah. The money doesn't matter. The money means nothing. Yeah, Melvin Gordon, $8 million. Yeah, okay. Stolen money.
$20? Stolen.
the owner is saying this is, he's seeing the NFL, how it's shaping out, and he's seeing first, second, third-year quarterbacks just exploding and knowing it all. We got one. Get him out there. Do it. You're not going to lose the Miami fan base by going this route. Remember, they were accused of tanking for Tua last year, right? And they fell into that. They finished strong. Brian Flores is a good coach. He's a legitimate coach.
He's a good coach.
Okay. Because that team finished strong and has sort of contended. I bet you they want the Buffalo game back because they had a lead late.
He's definitely better than Adam Gase.
if you compare the two,
he's probably worth $20 or $30 million, Adam Gase, and he's still got a job. It blows me away. But with Tua, it's going to be all about promise of the future,
right?
And then if it doesn't materialize, meaning if he's not a miniature Russell Wilson, right? Then you can come back in hindsight and say, but you're never going to be able to say if you'd have just let Ryan Fitzpatrick's day, we'd have won the Super Bowl. See, they're never in that position, right? They're fending their way. Okay. Maybe the difference of a couple of wins. So what? Yeah. But you got Tua ready for next year. And you could have put to rest this idea that he's hurt. Because he's cleared. I mean, he's perfectly cleared, ready to roll. But he's a small guy. So these are big boys.
So are you saying that the reason why Miami is putting him in just for to get him ready for next year?
Now. Exactly. If you can pick up. And this is
a hard sell for me.
Well, but think about it. Because think about it. This is not like Ryan Fitzpatrick is in the same conversation of our elite, right? Our top five.
No. I get that. I get that.
So when he's.
Do you put him in the top 10?
No. No, but he's very comfortable 15 to 20. Right, very comfortable.
He's better than Cousins.
But like football is like Vegas, you know, you don't leave a heater. You don't leave a table when you're on a heater. Right. He's on a heater.
Different story. If they're leading the AFC East, they had beaten Buffalo, so they're 5-1. They're leading the East, but this is
they're
not a
game behind.
Yeah, they're only a game behind. Yeah,
game behind after Buffalo has lost two. Right, and they've lost the head-to-head. So, right, so let's call it a game on a good day. I don't think anybody in the league, though, is looking at Miami. They're not in the same conversation as Buffalo. Buffalo's, we've been told, is great coaching, great defense, and the rise of Josh Allen. So maybe they can come and catch them. No problem. But if you're not leading the division, or if this was maybe, say, later, week 12, and you've gotten this far, I think you're early enough to do it, and it's a valuable time. Let's face it, this was the COVID season. There was no traditional offseason. You're going to need extra work here.
True, but again, you're ahead of the struggling Patriots.
Yep,
and you've got a chance.
Quarterback though.
Yeah, I'm saying, you're ahead of the struggling Patriots. The Jets are not coming in, so it's not even a factor. And you got a good chance to make the playoffs here for Miami. That is huge. And now you're gonna take that. I mean, again, wish nothing but success for Tua, but. Jeez,
Do you think they could get both? Groom Tua, get him in season and make the playoffs? Meaning, would Fitzpatrick could they do the same finish?
I don't know what's happening in Miami
would that
practices.
Fit the bill for
it's
them?
Just, it's just
I mean,
happening.
Would that fit the bill for them for the draft? I mean, what do we know what they're trying to do for next season?
Oh, they're winning. They're going to once you get the
obviously
franchise
they're trying to
guy,
build with Tua.
Once you get the franchise guy, you don't go back. So teams like San Diego, Miami is done, Kansas, all these teams are done. They're not looking for quarterbacks. So now it is build around them and let them play as much as possible. Mm-hmm. It's a fascinating conversation because both sides are 100% right. You're 100% right to say Fitzpatrick should still start, and you're 100% right to say you've got supposedly the number one overall pick that fell in our lap ready to go.
Right. That's a sale.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So when we come back on the Press Box on the MileHigh.com, GoMileHigh.com, and a part of the on-air network, we're going to talk real quickly about Le'Veon Bell going to Kansas City, and then we're going to have some NBA coaching news. We'll be right back.
This is Ducello at Sturt. Zach Ducello.
I would say there's two answers because there's the Elway draft, and there's going to be the way that I would draft it, which I'm going to go with that. You're going to have to get the offensive line beefed up so you can get Drew Lock. And you think about it, our offensive line is pretty horrendous. There's Reisner.
Matthew Sturt. Half the fan base wanted Troy Tulowitzki to get traded, and the other half of the fan base doesn't know anything about baseball, so they were like, no, we want Troy.
Follow them on Twitter at Welcome Rug and at OrangeMamba22 to check out the latest podcast.
Hey, man. What's wrong?
I'm feeling lost.
Lost?
Yeah. I feel like my choices in life aren't getting me anywhere, and I feel like I don't have a voice.
Well, did you know that the Colorado Media School is the perfect way for you to get that outlet?
Really?
Yeah, because at the Colorado Media School, you can have a voice.
Enrollment starts today.
So find your voice at beonair.com.
It's changed my life. Let it change yours. Hey, Colorado sports fans. You're listening to GoMileHigh.com. A student-operated station live from the Colorado Media School studios here in Belmar, giving you a different perspective on all things current.
Stop torturing yourself, man! Live in the now!
So stay tuned to see what's coming up next on GoMileHigh.com, Colorado's sports lifestyle.
Showing!
What does it take to be on air? It's not just a personality, though it does help. It takes drive, creativity, passion, and the willingness to develop yourself and truly find what makes you special. At Go Mile High, students are given this chance to become something great. You never know. Someone you're hearing right now could be the next big thing, and you could be the first to know how it all started. So keep listening, because you never know what's next on GoMileHigh.com.
And we're back. Press Box on the GoMileHigh.com, a part of the Be On Air network. Right now, I'm sitting here with Marty, Roddy, and Squirrel, and we're going to be talking briefly about Le'Veon Bell, if he's going to be starting this week, or what kind of impact he's going to have with the Chiefs. And then we got some NBA coaching news. So
let's do it.
Let's do it. Le'Veon Bell, he's going to possibly start this week.
He's not going to start, but he's going to get in some playing time. I see big things coming from Kansas City. I really do. I don't think he does better than CEH, but I do see him coming in as, taking some screen
honestly,
passes.
I see him being probably the best complimentary backup there ever will be.
But is he coming for a complimentary back? He's coming to get his.
What did they pay him? What was this?
Not much.
What
did not
he
much.
Get?
But Mahomes is. He's
coming for the ring.
Yeah,
he's
coming for
the
ring.
And well, I mean, let's make sure we get that clear, because I'm glad we hit that. Disgruntled everywhere he goes,
right.
And now he's sort of settling in, finding himself on the best team in the league where he has no pressure, because he is probably going to be their 6th, 7th, 8th type option.
Option, yeah.
Any day of the week. He'll be great when he has 4, 6, 7 carries. But you saw just Monday night, they have no problem running the ball anytime they
want. No. They can do it whenever they feel like.
And Bell, to quote him, I played at a high level for so long, but then I went to the Jets and felt like I wasn't at the high level. But now I'm with a Super Bowl contending team. I think coming here would give me an opportunity to do that. No pressure on him. And he actually says, I don't necessarily have to worry about how many times I'm touching the ball. And to back that up, Mahomes also says he's a mismatch coming out of the backfield, meaning he's one of the best catchers coming out of the backfield. So
I just want to say the Chiefs, I just looked at a contract. Chiefs got this man for a steal. The Jets still owe him $6 million. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs are paying him $690,000 this year.
Yeah, so
with
a
base salary, the rest of his contract of $1 million per year.
That's right.
That's all they got that
You can look at that almost as that he paid the Chiefs to come there.
Yeah, no, yeah, absolutely.
His quote kind of just summarized what I was thinking on him. Made his money.
Yep.
Pressures probably was too much. Blamed the Jets for injury.
Everything.
Lack. You know what I mean? So it's the Jets. But I remember
it's
guys like
in New York,
I remember
man.
Barry Sanders was on really, really bad Detroit Lions teams. The still rebuilding Detroit Lions. And you didn't hear that. And you saw him run hard every place. So, Le'Veon, you're welcome to be sort of an extra on this team. That's why you were paid the way you were. Mm-hmm. But if I'm the Chiefs, I mean, it's business as usual. That team is as good as it gets.
Listen,
right,
I'm going to say Clyde.
Don't mess it up. A lot like AB. Don't come in and mess things up for us or
Clyde,
you're gone.
Speaking of AB, Seattle's looking at him. I don't know if you guys noticed that.
Yeah, we talked
about that.
I was talking to Marty.
Need him cheap.
Okay.
Yeah, we need him cheap. Yeah, we
he
saw
was
that.
There too.
We need him.
He was there too.
My question was, does he go cheap the Le'Veon route, or do you have to pay him like he's premier receiver? Because everybody who's paid him, he's burned hard. And then his conduct right now is not able to get a full season. So same thing with Le'Veon.
I think, can't keep his
mouth shut and just play.
I think he gets kind of the same contract Le'Veon will get.
Well, then he'll be signed and he'll be instant and he can get paid next year because that would be a steal, obviously.
Probably
anything under $1 million.
$1 million base salary, working on incentives pretty much. Small money here and there.
Playing for a contender. So,
we'll
that's the thing. That's what these guys are looking at, especially AB and Le'Veon. They want to go get a ring.
Yeah.
You know, and it's Le'Veon took the easiest way out to go
sure
get
did.
One.
Sure did.
A cheap way to go get one. I don't know who else he could. There's nobody else easier he could have went to with a better chance to win a Super Bowl. And
just have to wait till March 7th.
Yeah, well, because the other teams would have been like Pittsburgh, and he's not welcome back there.
Well,
so
I think of it as this. If he had stayed on the Jets the rest of the year, and they'd have went, say, an 0-16, maybe what they're looking like, what would have been his
worth?
Yes, more or less. How would he have been able to market himself to the rest of the NFL, saying, I finished the season 0-16, but I had 800 yards or whatever. How is he going to be able to market himself as such?
It was an agent move.
Yeah, well, of course.
I mean,
the
agent
said,
you know what,
moves.
Let's get out of here.
They're all agent moves, just like McClendon.
Yeah. He's still driving. No.
They fired him in the middle of the game. He took a cab to Tampa.
Yeah.
Didn't even want to get back on the plane.
No, I wouldn't
he
either.
He said, "I did." Yeah, 0-5, you're telling me I can go play with a goat? Okay, I'll catch a cab. I don't need to go back home.
Yeah.
But to what I was saying, I think he made the move at the right time to probably continue his career, honestly.
For a big money guy, yes.
Yeah, if he'd have left finished 0-16, not too many people would have said, "Hey, yeah, you can come over here and play with us," because they'd have
I'm not buying that, but I would say it would have lost tremendous value for sure. Mm-hmm. Staying with the Jets, so I don't think he comes to another team, you know,
with the same value
that he can come in there like, oh, I'm going to need 15 a year. I'm like,
I was about to say, was he getting 15 a year to play for the worst team in the league?
15, nah.
Well, first of all, you sat out a whole season wanting 17 and a half.
Shoot.
They weren't going to
give
it to
you. About an hour.
I was about to say, they weren't going to give it to you. You lost all that money in game checks, being a diva. Then you took a deal for a lot less than what you even wanted on the worst team in the league. And now you give it up. You're going to get your $6 million guarantee, but you're working on $690,000 to build yourself back to a decent contract next year.
But then incentives, I think we were looking at yesterday, is...
Yeah, like another million or so, I think.
He gets $700,000 if they win the Super Bowl. He gets $500,000 if they make it to division playoffs.
If he gets 10 touchdowns, he gets like $250,000. Yeah. There's a bunch of stuff, A
bunch of stuff.
He's going to get some incentives, but he ain't going to get all of them.
Speaking of changes, we're going to bounce over to the NBA. Stan Van Gundy signed with the New Orleans Pelicans today. I'm not sure for how much, but as we know, the Pelicans had an early departure during the NBA playoffs this year. So can Stan do it? And also the Indiana Pacers signed a new coach yesterday, Kevin Bjorken. Mm-hmm.
I'm more excited of the Borkin hire than the Stan Van Gundy.
I'm more excited to see what Ty Lue does in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So, ton of turnover. I mean, we're nine or so here?
Yeah, you got Thibodeau.
Here's the problem I have with the NBA, right? Very preachy league, always progressive, moving the needle, right? Mm-hmm. These are all recycled names. I mean, you have a couple breakthroughs. So you got Bickerstaff's getting a shot here. Okay, longtime assistant. And Bjorkman. Okay, but still a white guy, right? Mm. Right? I mean,
I get you. I'm following you.
We were teasing about that yesterday, folks.
Well, come on.
Roddy's fuming right now.
No, I'm feeling you. I'm with you.
Well, I just don't get it because you know there's a ton of black great assistants, young assistants. You know, and we got the Steve Nash thing, and Steve Nash had a good line. He says, you know, my career sort of put me in this position, right? When you're that good, you can kind of name Doc Rivers the same thing. Tyronn Lue, you know, we've heard all these names. I just guess, is it just we're so scared as NBA owners to go out and start fresh? Or are we picking head coaches that they think will manage stars the best and really coddle a Kawhi properly because you got to handle all these guys just right? Is that how we're picking coaches? Because this isn't a very diverse list. This list is recycled. I've seen it a thousand times.
I always thought the players picked the coaches.
Well, that's what we're going. Is that what these are handlers? Are these to handle stars or are these to go in and coach? Because the way I feel like is if you don't have a star on an NBA team and you're kind of in the middle or trending the wrong way, you have to have great fundamental basketball coaching and development, right? Where then you have superstar teams where it's more, ooh, I don't know if Doc Rivers is handling his talent, his stars just right. And so that's where we're going to make a move. And Tyronn Lue, even though their basketball knowledge and accomplishment is similar or whatever, he's a better handler of stars. Is that how these are getting picked? Because his names are all the same, just different teams.
Right, like Doc Rivers, like you said.
Van Gundy, I mean, how is Stan Van Gundy for the Pelicans? How does that move them where they
exactly? It's a meh. It's a meh deal
because he's had some experience. He's had some experience.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't see any difference. I don't see the Pelicans, you know, benefiting from this hire.
Well, there's a rumor going out today that his brother Jeff might go to Houston.
What? It's just I don't.
That's rumors.
Now there's 1,000 coaches in between, but we're going to drag him out 20 years on the hiatus.
Again, I like to see Mark Jackson be a part of the coaching carousel. Sure. I like to see.
I want to see Byron Scott come back.
I want to see Byron Scott again as coach. He was a terrific coach, I believe. I'm even looking at Gary Payton. I saw what he did in the Big Three. I mean, I would love to see that on the sidelines, him cursing out the refs
so we
like that.
So a minute left, and what kind of changes are you going to what kind of changes do you think is going to affect next season? No changes because of the merry-go-round of coaching to different teams?
You talking about basketball?
I think it's the exact same. I don't think these coaches – I think basketball coaches have the absolute least – impact on games. When you get to the level of we have LeBron and AD and all this stuff, where they really come in is your teams that have no stars and are trying to ascend, where you can see that's a great coach. You can tell Eric Spoelstra he can coach whatever lineup. He don't need a star. Mm-hmm. He can do journeyman, but he can handle a big three star. Brad Stevens the same way. Okay, Pop's been able to do this.
Yeah.
Rick Carlisle been able to do it for 17 years. Few are able to handle the sort of the revolving changes, and that's why these coaches are just gone. But boy, if you're a coach of a star team, star-rated team, but it's championship or you're gone, basically, is the way it's being viewed now. Now you need at least two stars and a handler of each star. I mean,
it's crazy.
It's too much player probably influence, I would think, in the NBA.
Oh, definitely.
Jason Kidd, Tyronn Lue.
Yeah. It was a good talk. So, coming up in the next segment, we're going to talk about why ratings in all kinds of sports across the board are down. So you're listening to the Press Box on the GoMileHigh.com on a part of the Be On Air Network.
Be On Air Network!
This is Ducello Asserts. Zach Ducello.
I would say there's two answers because there's the Elway draft, and there's going to be the way that I would draft it, which I'm going to go with that. You're going to have to get the offensive line beefed up so you can get Drew Lock. And if you think about it, our offensive line is pretty horrendous. There's Reisner.
Matthew Sturts.
Half the fan base wanted Troy Tulowitzki to get traded, and the other half of the fan base doesn't know anything about baseball, so they were like, no, we want Troy.
Follow them on Twitter at WelcomeRug and at OrangeMamba22 to check out the latest podcast.
Hey, man. What's wrong?
I'm feeling lost.
Lost?
Yeah. I feel like my choices in life aren't getting me anywhere, and I feel like I don't have a voice.
Well, did you know that the Colorado Media School is the perfect way for you to get that outlet?
Really?
Yeah, because at the Colorado Media School, you can have a voice. Enrollment starts today, so find your voice at beonair.com. It's changed my life. Let it change yours.
Hey, Colorado sports fans, you're listening to GoMileHigh.com, a student-operated station live from the Colorado Media School Studios here in Belmar, giving you a different perspective on all things current.
Stop torching yourself, man! Live in the now!
So stay tuned to see what's coming up next on GoMileHigh.com, Colorado's sports lifestyle.
Showing!
What does it take to be on air? It's not just the personality, though it does help. It takes drive, creativity, passion, and the willingness to develop yourself and truly find what makes you special. At Go Mile High, students are given this chance to become something great. You never know. Someone you're hearing right now could be the next big thing, and you could be the first to know how it all started. So keep listening, because you never know what's next on GoMileHigh.com.
All right, welcome back, everyone. This is the Press Box on the GoMileHigh.com, a part of the Be On Air Network. Carlos Rodriguez here with Roddy, Marty, Squirrel. And right now we're going to be talking about, there was a poll that was taken by a local talk station here in Denver, Sports Talk. They polled about 1,300 people. And they were talking about how many of these 1,300 people were actually watch sports. And right now with all the pandemic and everything else that's going on in the world, election.
Social justice.
Yeah. So the poll ended with only 12% will always watch sports, 15% somewhat watch sports, 27% give or take, and 46% couldn't care less.
I think those statistics are kind of like staggered. I mean, the 46% that couldn't care less, they kind of care. They want sports to happen. I'd say a good 20%, 25% of that, was it 46%? They probably do care. I mean, if you took away football right now, oh, my goodness, I think we would see the purge outside. Definitely. Mm-hmm. We would definitely see the purge. I mean.
Well, you know who brought football back, right?
Oh, yeah. and that's one of the reasons why sports is down, I believe. So I think it's just like, again, there's too much things going on. The pandemic was one. The election. I mean, you can't go see sports. That's half of the fun, that you can go out and see it live. I mean, baseball, I know, took a huge hit when they couldn't take any fans. Who watches baseball on TV?
All right.
It's hard.
But real quick before I get to Marty here, is that there's been an election every 4 years, and the ratings were always up there.
Yeah. No. It's not election. Couple things. So, you know, basketball landed in the wrong time for themselves. But we had to get the year done. It would have been, now looking back, shameful to say there's just season ends where the NBA did. But they're not used to finishing in October. But you have football going, and you have now baseball, who's always done their playoffs. Now, we saw last night game one of the World Series, year over year down 2.7%. Not terrible considering. People's worlds got rocked in COVID-19. Mm-hmm. And so things, priorities, and areas that you're going to spend time on, I think they just changed for a lot of people. Going back to your four-year thing, you have never had such a divisive situation boiling with everything becoming political, from a social justice, the masks, okay, the election, and all this, which side are you on, right? Mm-hmm. Because some of that 46%, see, it's kind of like McDonald's, because I know some of them are lying. I don't eat McDonald's.
Right.
But they're selling a billion hamburgers a day, right? They don't care about sports, but they're going to watch it, right? So there's some tough guy stuff on there for sure. There's a lot of messaging in these leagues right now that you're going to just, like Michael Jordan said, hey, Republicans buy sneakers too. So the moment you stick that out there, good or bad, you're just going to lose some people anyways. That's never been done before, even though the NBA's been a preachy, progressive league. Nothing like this, right? And so, good or bad, I was looking at the action. I liked the tournament, the bubble. We got our sports bonanza.
Definitely, yeah. Did a great
we
job.
Got, okay, so we got it through. But you lost some people there because that just wasn't for them. Mm-hmm. That wasn't the appropriate platform. Hockey tried to. I mean, I think once this is sort of worn off, that sports are now also a political action as well. And that's going to wear off. Here in about 2 weeks, all of a sudden it won't be political anymore. Sports,
you know, hockey
are just normal.
Hockey didn't even have a million viewers during the Stanley Cup.
Right, right. I mean, they disappeared. So we were sort of removed from the, without fans and without all of these other distractions, we weren't able to immerse, I don't think, in our sports and our teams as well this year.
I think, like the like you said, at the point with the fans, I think that's a huge element of the sports, of people now watching sports. Like, you don't can tell when, you know, a big play just happened. You don't hear that roar of the crowd coming from the TV. So you look back, and only thing you hear is somebody yelling, and you look back, and, oh, I missed a whole bunch of great plays. I saw a lot of good plays on Instant Replay this year just because the crowd wasn't in there.
Absolutely, and they're trying to filter us in some fake stuff, but we know, it's not. It's so artificial.
You hear all late, it's already over with. The play is already over, done, you know. So.
And the fans are such perfect unison. I don't know. That's probably an element. There's so many factors that this season has never seen before, any time in the history. We just never had anything like this. Mm-hmm. And so to be concerned or thinking that because sports ratings are down, I just don't think it means anything. But I know life changed with the pandemic, the social justice movement, this election. Things are permanently changed. So some of these behaviors, some of these patterns, I think will be permanent for a small percentage of population. I think you lost viewers permanently no matter what happens as a result of this season. But you know what? It's a 24/7 now sports league. NFL doesn't stop. You know, next year's going to have some problems with starting these seasons. We're going to have this sports bonanza and sports calendars changing, and people will have to adapt. I don't know that you can start the NBA in October, obviously, but you just started, right? You're talking about Christmas.
Yeah, they're already talking about, you know, December. It might even get pushed to January, so for the NBA restart.
So those are going to be changes for people that, okay, doesn't work for me anymore. Now, there's a lot of thought that Christmas Day should be the opening for NBA anyways, and it really launches. But, you know, for me, I'm going to be hooked on the stuff no matter what, right? I know I don't go I don't go to LeBron James for my political views, right? What's the odds that the best player ever also has the wisdom to lead me politically? That's not why I'm there. I'm there to watch him. Those
really
are
odd.
You
want to answer that?
But, I mean, you know, it's just,
well, I mean, we got a reality star for a president, so.
But
why can't we have an athlete for a president?
I'm not saying we can't.
I almost voted for Kanye West, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But the idea being is that we're just here for the action. Okay, and you're never going to lose. As long as that action's there, you can't lose true sports fans. You just can't do it.
Well, Florida's open up next week, right?
Of course it is, man. Mm-hmm. Florida State's 3, brother. Back get. What's going on with Miami, huh?
So they're letting how many fans back in Miami?
Everybody.
Yeah. Whole
everybody.
Listen, before the University of Florida got those cases, they were going to fill fill the swamp in Florida, dude. They were going to fill it.
He asked for it.
90,000 fans they were going to put in there, dude. No masks, no nothing. They didn't care. SEC football, baby. That's what it's all about.
That's just
but
a horrible.
I want to jump right back to talking about some of the sounds that, you know, they've been pumping in. You know what I'm going to miss, though? The sound of the crack of the bat in baseball. Because you know you can't hear it that well with a crowd full of people. And, dude, when you hear anybody crack a home run, that sound off the bat is just glorious.
I mean,
I love it, dude.
I mean, you hear it with a full
you don't hear it like you do now. Echoes through the park.
I mean, you do. You hear it. I mean, that I mean, and it just, you did it. Oh, that whole, the people standing up after you hear that crack in the bat.
One thing I like is hearing the players on the field.
Yeah.
So when I was watching the Bronco game, and when Justin Simmons picked up that fumble, you know, I heard 10 guys yell,
yes,
bah!
Right.
Like, football. Like,
last night, I was listening. Like, apparently, they have these little, I don't know what they got, amazing mics. I could hear Mookie Betts having a conversation on second base with whoever it was. The guy was talking about his $400 million that he makes or something, and you could hear the whole conversation.
And I think that's going to get
– that's incredible, dude.
I think that's going to get – a lot of these sports leagues in trouble.
Definitely
in trouble, because you already see what happens when the hot mic is on.
Because they didn't realize Troy
Aikman's going to lose viewers.
It
no
wasn't
what,
Joe Buck.
Yeah, because they was
it
complaining.
It wasn't Joe Buck. It was Tom Brenneman.
It was Tom Brenneman.
That was another one.
It's another one.
This was the other day.
Oh, Joe Buck the other day,
And Troy Aikman.
Troy Aikman, yeah.
Yeah, they was talking about the flyover. And now, you know, like, oh, there's all our tax money going over the flyover.
Jeez.
And Aikman.
It's just crazy.
And Aikman said, you know what?
if it was Joe Biden and Harris, that this wouldn't have happened.
Right. Yeah, and that's, like, that's
he
a high
threw
rank.
A political
right.
thing.
Wow. So what right. do you think is going to be happening when you hear, you know, let's think about the whole the Pittsburgh and the Browns last year. Mm-hmm. You would have actually heard if Mason yeah. Rudolph actually said that yeah. N-word. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if that would have happened.
That would have made a case. Would
he justify Garrett? Miles Garrett justified?
I still don't think that's justified.
I'll flip it, though.
I mean, honestly, taking a man's helmet off and hitting him with it.
Go ahead and say it with the rule.
No, I'm saying you take the man's right. helmet off and you hit him with it. Come on.
The only thing I'd say is what if you had the audio and he didn't say it?
No,
again, I mean, you know what I mean? I just
again. It's there. So I think
it's a good point, though, because the XFL kind of wanted to do that.
That was
right?
yesterday's news. Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. Would Garrett have gotten something bigger if that was the case?
I'm saying, you know, just emotions.
What happened to Mason Rudolph?
I still say it wouldn't justify what he did, but I understand.
I get why he's mad, but like I said, you're still a professional athlete. You got to let that.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, you got to let that BS roll. You do. You're a professional.
I ain't saying you should do it.
I'm not saying.
By the great words of Chris Rock.
I understand where people are coming from.
Right. They played last weekend and nothing happened.
And you need to be a professional about it, dude. Yeah. You know, there's
what are you going to do? I'm going to go to the sideline and say, hey, I'm going to talk to the coach about this. No, I'm going to beat you up the side of his head. I'm going to take the suspension. I'm not saying it's right, but I understand.
So what about Joe Buck getting yanked at Game 7 to go?
They got him for Green Bay, Tampa Bay,
and he could go to see a Week 6 football game, to announce a Week 6 football game. But
they left. Yeah, they took him off the
makes baseball pretty minor league, doesn't it?
Yeah, football is king.
Honestly, it really shows you where the money's at.
Exactly. But let's face it, that was an awful game. But on paper, that was supposed to be game of the week, right? Everybody says Tampa Bay looked horrendous against Chicago, and Green Bay has been on fire, and Aaron Rodgers looked like he'd been resurrected. He returned to his old sloppy self. Mm-hmm. So point being is that's game of the week. You got to put Joe Buck on it. I mean, God, to have those pipes and to be that well sought after, you're going to do a Game 7 or you're going to do a NFL game of the week. That's Fox's call. That's when they pay the bills, and they say that's going to get it done. I'm fine with it, even though, you know, baseball's moment was much larger.
Yeah,
you know,
Game 7.
You know, I mean, it blows me away.
I don't understand that. Why you take someone away from Game 7 of a ALCS?
Was it the
Braves and
the NLCS. Yeah. Dude, you're going to take him away for a Week 6 mid-season NFL game?
Yes. But if he was a hockey announcer and it was Game 7 of whatever hockey, I mean, yeah, you pull him in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Because it's literally, I want to say it's like a third or something. The revenues, baseball and NFL. Yeah. I mean, obviously, if that's your number one guy, that's what you put in front of your number one product. Well, I get it.
There's a reason you don't see $400 million contracts in basketball, hockey, of course. And
well, you're going to. They're coming. These max deals are in the mid-200s, and they're only going up.
Are you going to see a basketball guy hit three?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Who?
Steph Curry might get it when he comes back up. I mean, all of them are going
LeBron's son.
Yeah.
Bronny.
You see Bronny. 300 all the day.
You got to stop him smoking weed, man.
All guaranteed, too, mind you.
We're in Colorado.
But speaking of hockey, let's do a shout-out to Mike Emmerich, retiring.
Yes, retiring.
Oh, yeah,
greatest hockey announcer of all time.
Absolutely. Congratulations on that career.
Yeah. So that's going to do it for us today at the Press Box. I want to thank you, Squirrel. I want to thank you, Marty.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Rod.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yo.
All right. So this was the Press Box on the GoMileHigh.com, a part of the On Beat On Air Network. I cannot stop
you
that.
You cannot get it, dude.
I don't know what it is.
We will see you guys tomorrow.
This is Ducello Asserts. Zach Ducello.
I would say there's two answers because there's the Elway draft, and there's going to be the way that I would draft it, which I'm going to go with that. You're going to have to get the offensive line beefed up so you can get Drew Lock.